right. So we were just talking. We'll just keep this real conversational too. Like, we don't need to go in any kind of flow. But you said you're from
Otsego, Michigan.
Michigan. All right. Yeah. I was going to say Maine. I had Maine in my head. So Michigan. What brought you down here?
So kind of like crazy. My best friend since school, sort of. So every summer he would disappear down to his dad's house and he would come back with a luscious tan and a pocket full of money. Nice. And I was like, what am I missing out on, bro? What are you going to do? And so when we graduated, we moved down here together. And that was 05. I lived here for 8 months. And this whole time, never sand sculpted. So
right.
That wasn't even a part of this equation.
Yeah.
And I lived here for like 8 months in 05, moved back home to Michigan, and then moved down permanently in 2009. So I was kind of back and forth.
Okay. Gotcha. So I'm guessing, I'll just go on a limb here, but I'm guessing you didn't come down here with like, I'm going to be a sand sculptor. Yeah. You just wanted to come down to the beach and suck up the,
the
sun and the water.
Yeah, one of my best friends ever too, you know what I mean? Like one of my best core friendships that I ever had. So just to like have that foundation to move down here and be with. And like
right.
When I lived here in 05, I developed a bunch of friends and then I moved back home to Michigan and I was like, man. Winters are cold. I really like that. You know, no snow in the winter, being in a t-shirt on the beach, like Christmas Day. So, yeah, it was kind of hard to pass it up.
It's a good deal, man. Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people are kind of chasing it, you know, and my wife and I did something similar. I got orders to a military base that was kind of out in the middle of nowhere, out in the middle of the desert. And she's just like, please, no, I don't want to go there for 4 years. And I was like, that's fine. Where do you want to go? And she's like, well, I like the beach. I'm from California. You know, it's expensive there. So we were like, let's try Florida. So, I mean, I don't want to say we threw dart at a map, but for all intents and purposes, we were like, where does the ocean meet the land? Move somewhere there. And that's kind of how we ended up here. But
holy cow. That's awesome, man.
It's interesting. It's definitely interesting moving down here. You came down here. What did you initially do when you moved here?
So Stanley Steamer, crazy enough. So while I worked in Michigan, I worked at Stanley Steamer and I actually became like assistant branch manager.
Okay.
So when I moved down here, it was just natural. They had a branch down here and I was like, let me go ahead and just transfer within branches because for the most part, they're all interconnected. But these two weren't. So when I came down, I had to reapply in a whole nine yards. But anyways, I tried to work with them and, you know, I went from a van with my name on it to a van with no AC.
Okay.
It was a big change. It was a very big change. So
no AC is not fun in Florida.
Not in Florida, no.
It's warm here.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's why I tried to help like change the branch, but after a while I realized it wasn't working, so I kind of stepped away, you know,
yeah.
And let that just kind of do its own thing.
Okay.
And then that's when I started working at an animal hospital, crazy enough.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I worked at an animal hospital for almost 5 years and then just kind of got burnout on that. And next thing you know, I was randomly, literally on Craigslist one night and it was like, be a sandcastle coach. And I was like, this isn't a job. What is this? And I clicked on it and sent them an email and just kind of talked about my history and how I moved down here and how I've never built a sandcastle, but I've always been artistic because I have. Like, I draw all the time.
Okay.
And so they sent me an email back, sat down with an interview, which led to a job. It's crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's all like divine intervention because there was no reason for me to be on Craigslist that night. Like I
right.
had a good day at work,
right?
But I was just burned out on doing what I'd been doing for that long.
Yeah.
Once you work in an animal hospital, you understand.
Yeah, well, I'm sure.
Very high emotions.
I'm sure.
It's like, oh, puppy. Oh, no, dog dying.
Right.
Oh, no, another puppy. Oh, save my puppy.
Right.
But I don't have enough money, so I don't know what to do, but I want you to save my dog. So it's
yeah.
just an emotional roller coaster every day.
I can only imagine. Yeah. My sister's a nurse and, you know, my dad's a cop, my sister's a nurse. So, you know, I was military. I'm very used to just the emotional
roller
ups and
coasters.
Downs. Yeah. And it's hard, you know, you got high highs and you got low lows and
yeah.
it's part of the job. And, I hats off to all people that do it. Cause I am not jealous of, you know, people that have to go through that, but you know, especially with animals.
Yeah.
That's can't be easy.
It was a fun job that was very rewarding because you would take an animal that was like sick and, you know, hurt and you would like nurse it back to health and it would like understand what you were doing for it. And at
right.
the end, it would actually like show more affection to you because of that, because it knew it helped you helped it get better. It's so crazy how it
yeah.
works. And animals are just so brilliant. They
yeah.
have a natural instinct too that I love.
Yeah.
They can tell you a good person.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
I love
very
that.
Cool. So you were just doing sandcastles now, right?
Yeah, no.
I mean, that's it. Just 100%. I say play it in the sand. I don't mean to diminish it. I've seen the pictures. There
you
go. Sandcastles.
See what it says?
Playing in the sand.
bro, like first line on my shirt. That's 100% what I do all day, every day.
That's awesome. I believe you are living the American dream. Just you figure out something that's your niche, sandcastle tattoo. You're the first man I've seen with a watercolor sandcastle tattoo.
Yep.
That's awesome, dude. That's the heartbeat before it.
Yep.
I love it.
Yep. And then I got Hourglass spilling out sandcastles, right?
Yep.
I'm all about it.
That's cool, man.
Pretty much what happened is when that company taught me, instantly addicted. Instantly hooked.
Yeah.
I mean, from the first moment they taught me, I was like, this is incredible. This is the best thing I've ever done with my entire life. And so I left their teaching session of teaching me how to do it. Mm-hmm. Couldn't even make it 10 minutes down the road and literally played until it was pitch black because I was like instantly hooked. And then from that moment on, my passion out exceeded what they could provide for me. So like after 2 years, after they kind of like trained and helped mold my knowledge, they were like, all right, you've learned all you can learn from us. It's time for you to expand, young butterfly.
Yeah.
Go spread your wings and learn how to do other things.
Yeah.
And so and that was like my end goal was to actually go in competitions and stuff. But yeah, those are a lot of stress too.
There are sandcastle building competitions.
Yep.
Of course there are.
Yeah.
I just am not privy to the sandcastle building world. So tell me about a competition. What's that look like?
The one just wrapped up in Siesta Key this weekend, actually.
Okay.
I just watched a video this morning of them destroying all the sculptures.
Yeah.
Which breaks my heart. It's like, why are you going to do that? They worked for like literally weeks building all these massive sand sculptures. And the day after after it all ends, they immediately bulldoze them.
Take them out.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's something you could leave up for at least a week and let
the
public come and enjoy it. You know what I mean? Like make it like a city attraction or something. So they have sand sculpting competitions all over the United States.
Okay.
So like all in Jersey Shores, the Carolinas, all in Florida, Texas, California, Oregon, Washington, all up and down the coasts.
I never saw them like a competition per se, but I know the first time I ever saw a sand sculpture outside of just playing at the beach, I grew up 15 minutes from the beach.
So you probably saw a lot.
Yeah. There was a fair amount of homeless people where I grew up, and some of them would just beg for money, but some of them would go out and they would make these super cool sculptures. I mean, they were amazing. Yeah. And they would just put a bucket out and, you know, you just go by and check it out and if you got some money, throw it at them. But it's what they did. It's what they did all day. And I'm guessing they enjoyed what they did. You know, none of them looked upset and they made these really cool pieces of art. And
everybody loves the sandcastle, bro.
Yeah.
Everybody loves the sandcastle.
Yeah.
So they're having fun creating joy into people. And that's probably why I dive so heavily into it, because I realized I went from like a stressful environment to like pure unfiltered happiness.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, this is amazing. So it really helped me dive into that more just because I'm a naturally happy person.
Right.
You know, they used to call me Mr. Rogers at the freaking animal hospital. I'm not even lying.
Yeah.
They're like, you're like Mr. Rogers, because I'm always like just in a chipper good mood, you know?
I love it, man. Spread joy.
Spread joy like glitter. It's why my shirt sparkles.
That's
fantastic.
All right. So I know we talked about it a minute ago before we started filming, but you're going to be making these for sale soon, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm working on getting everything closed out the screen for any company so people can actually buy these. And it will be more than just at the moment, because we're in the fall, I'll be doing the zipper hoodies.
Okay.
But in the summer, then I'll do the actual UV50, nice flip-up hood,
cool
beach hoodies,
Okay.
And they may even have thumb holes, because all mine have thumb holes on them.
Sweet. And will those be available through your website, or how can people get those? Okay.
Yeah, just go on my website, dancastles.com.
Dancastles.com. I love it. And on your website.
Merch plug.
I'll plug it all. Well, if you have one main spot where we can find everything, I'll put that in the description. But
pretty much my website.
You got a YouTube as well, right?
Yep.
But your YouTube, are you teaching people to build?
Everything.
Okay.
Yeah, so I have how-to videos on there, as well as time lapses, as well as like day vlogs. So I do everything on my YouTube. I mean, for me, it's all about the love. You saw my tattoo. It really represents, like both of them represent my life. I pour all my time into this, like from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to sleep. And it's like, I'm not working.
Right.
I'm playing all day, every day. Like sandcastles. Who doesn't love a sandcastle? Like I said, so just by like posting it spreads that joy with people that wouldn't normally be able to see in person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's amazing. I watched some of your time-lapse videos, you know, a couple days ago. And actually I watched one this morning too, of just like the structure and the building. And I was like, man, that's amazing. You know, I'm like trying to build a little 1 foot sandcastle on the beach with my daughter and it comes out half crushed. And I'm like, well, you know, but obviously there's an art to it.
More
these
water.
Sculptures are more water.
More water.
Okay. Got it. Apparently I need to watch some of your how-to videos.
It takes a lot of water.
But you do some local events too, right?
I got a whole bunch of events all year, like every year. So like, for example, this will probably be out after this event on Saturday, November 18th, just so that way that those dates associated.
Yeah.
I'll be in Navarre.
Today is November 14th.
Yeah. I'll be in Navarre doing a free Christmas sand sculpture. And then you and your family can come out dressed up real nice and get your picture taken around it by a professional photographer. And
nice.
That's 100% free.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it's like a free Christmas card photo shoot opportunity for the community.
That's awesome.
And then after that, I have multiple free workshops where you actually bring down your family and either make a Sandman or a Christmas tree with your family. And then you could like be hands-on the entire time and have a unique activity that you do together. And I'll be doing four of those before Christmas. And then next year, it's like continues into more like free public events. Like
cool.
Next year, I'll be doing a sandcastle competition for the community. So it's for the community to compete against the community, not professionals.
Right.
And it's a free competition for people to just come out and have fun, man. That's
yeah.
What it's about.
Yeah. I know you got the event at the island in the 2nd?
December
2nd?
December
2nd. I say we're going to that. I'm 99% sure we're going to that. The nice little Christmas parade's happening right before it, and it ends like right as the event's starting, so we're going to try and sneak out of there a little early, but we should be down to that one on the 2nd. I have a 9-year-old daughter. My wife's stoked about it. We love the beach. We're at the beach all the time. So
I'll be there till sunset.
Unless something catastrophic comes up, we'll be there for that one for sure. And this episode will be out before then, so if anyone is listening. Real quick, you said there's a photographer doing all the photographs for free for that Christmas event. I just want to give a shout out to that person because that's not an easy job. That's a hot, sweaty, painful job, and someone doing it for free. Do you know who the photographer is?
Yeah, he's my good friend. His name is Brian Douglas Photography. So Brian Douglas Photography. And he's, like I said, one of my really good friends. He's a local, and he is just as amazing about giving back his photography gift to the community as I am with my sand sculpting gift.
Cool.
So like last year for Christmas, we did the same thing, but it was on Christmas Day. So I made a Christmas sculpture and then families came out and just got their pictures behind it. But
sweet.
That was on Christmas Day. Our vision this year is for you to be able to make your Christmas card with this.
Okay.
So that way you can get the picture, get it on a card, get the card printed to your house and mailed out before Christmas.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. So next year, in July, my wife and I are going to be hosting at Christmas in July. So we're going to do the same idea, right? So we're going to be set up on the sand. We need to give us a call to Santa and make sure we can get a Santa to come down. We're going to put him in a Hawaiian shirt, some shorts, hang out. So we'll be in touch for sure. Because
yeah, we need a Christmas tree.
Yeah, it would be awesome to have something there. But same thing, I want to do something similar. I want to provide something that you can, if you're down visiting Destin and you're down here in July, you can get your Christmas photos taken.
That's
and, crazy. You know, we'll work it all out. My wife's the event planner for our family, so she's the one that's planning it all, but...
That's a wonderful idea.
Yeah,
Brian would be game to be your photographer.
Okay.
So just reach out to him and I'm 100% sure would hop right on board with that.
Cool. I'm just going to push everything to my wife because she's the one that does it all. So we'll figure it out. She does the heavy lifting in this relationship.
Yeah, you're lucky to have somebody like that, man.
That's awesome, though. So do you do, classes that you teach that people could pay for, or can people commission you for stuff, or how does that work?
Great questions. Yeah. So I do all of that. I do interactive hands-on sandcastle classes for literally all ages. My bottom barrel sandcastle class is called a smash class, and that's from newborns up to 5-year-olds because you do exactly that. You smash.
You're right.
Who doesn't love smashing the castle, especially little kids, right? And then I have a create a castle class where my good friend Kevin Lane owns a product called Create a Castle, which is a snap-away sandcastle mold.
Okay.
And I teach a class with that product so you can become a true master of it. And he has an indoor line as well called Build Master. But then I have my family class, which is for, just as it sounds, the entire family. So the Create a Castle class, I usually recommend ages 5 to about 12. If you give me a group of kids, 5 to 12, we'll rock out a bunch of Create a Castles and they'll have a blast doing it. And then the family class is literally 7 up, the whole family.
Okay.
The whole family gets on board. And then once you've done the family class, I encourage you to come back and take the 5 to 6 foot tall sandcastle class.
Okay.
Where we build one single 5 to 6 foot tall sandcastle. And if you have multiple participants, we've done more than one in a single class.
What's the trick to building a 6 foot tall sandcastle?
Lots of water.
Okay. So it's water.
Lots of water, bro. Like literally 80 gallons. I'm not even joking.
Okay.
Like literally 80 or more gallons of water to build a sandcastle that's about 5 foot tall.
This might sound like a stupid question, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Can salt water work? Like, are you using the ocean water?
Yeah.
I just want to know.
Yeah.
Salt water is not the same as fresh water. So I'm just curious.
It doesn't matter which water I use, okay. But yeah, I mostly use salt water because I use 5 gallon buckets to get all my water. So yeah. I literally like take 2 5 gallon buckets, walk down to the water line, fill them up with water, walk back up to my sculpture, 2 5 gallon buckets full of water, dump them in, go down, get more. If I build a castle, so if you see me standing next to a castle, it's about 7 feet tall, guaranteed hands down over 150 gallons of water.
That's wild.
Yeah. The jump between 5, 6, 7, and 8 foot for gallons of water is insane because between 5 foot, you're right about 80 to 100 gallons of water, but at 8 foot, you're over 300 gallons of water.
That's wild.
Yeah. And that's because your base has to be that much bigger to support all that weight up there because it can easily be 4,000 to 5,000 pounds.
Gotcha.
And so if the base isn't strong enough, it just crushes under its own weight.
Right.
Yep.
Assuming there's no bad weather or a hurricane or something, how long is one of these castles going to last?
Anywhere between 7 and 14 days.
Wow.
Yep.
Really?
If you apply Elmer's glue and water in a pump sprayer, you can make it last even longer.
They did one. Is that just glory on the outside?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So the company I used to work for, Beach Sand Sculptures, they're the ones who trained me. They actually did one at Topsail State Park, right? And they coated it with Elmer's glue.
Mm-hmm.
Lasted 8 months.
You serious?
Yeah, it had weeds grow up through it. It lasted so long.
Wild.
Yeah, they made it in the spring and it lasted literally all summer, all the way up until the fall.
Oh my gosh.
Yep, and that's because of the Elmer's glue. If you coat it heavy enough, it'll turn sand into pretty much concrete and water will literally bounce right off of it.
That's crazy. Do you do that with any ears or do you have to get permission to do that?
Every once in a while.
Okay.
So, nope, because Elmer's glue is water soluble and environmentally friendly. Don't typically need permission. I've never really asked though. You kind of brought up a good point. Because, you know, I'm the type of person that, for me, I like to cover all my bases. So I'm usually, like, figuring out that stuff before I do that stuff to make sure I'm not upsetting anybody.
Well, and people put a lot of effort into keeping the beaches clean around here. I've been places where the city doesn't put any money into the beach, and it's just, it is what it is. Some areas are nice, and some areas aren't. Some areas are completely littered. You know, every morning, they run tractors up and down our beaches. They're cleaning these things all the time. That's why they tell you not to leave stuff out overnight. Everything comes up. They scrape the whole thing. So the city spends no small amount of money keeping our beaches as nice as they are.
They really do. You're not wrong about that.
Yeah. So I'm assuming a tractor could probably drive through an Elmer's glue covered sand sculpture. Easily. However,
they usually go around them.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they usually go around them. So they're usually pretty respectful and they just go around the sculptures. Yeah.
Okay. I could also see them not liking that very much. They're like, hey, there's this big thing.
Well, you know, during certain times of year, I don't leave them up.
Okay.
So during certain times of year, I do level them as flat as possible, and that's for sea turtles.
I was going to ask for
sea
turtles.
Because we do have sea turtles that come up and nest, as well as little babies that get down to the water.
Right.
And crazy enough, a trench this big can stop a baby sea turtle from getting to the water.
Yeah.
So, and that's something I really take into consideration during that hatching season. Really inform everyone.
That's really cool of you. I mean, just some people, they either don't know or they don't think about it or they think it's not a big deal, you know, and it's just unfortunate. Yeah. Like it's nature's, it's in balance, you know, and little stuff can throw it out. So it drives me nuts when people kind of trash our beaches here. Like I see people coming through and it's not that hard. Pick up your stuff.
No idea.
There's trash cans all up and down. Every single beach. You can't get to a beach entrance without a trash can at the top of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and they're all up and down on the beach too.
Right. Right. You carry it out from your car, carry it back to your car, you know, just throw it out. But I mean, I've been out swimming with my kid and picking up trash out of the ocean. Like, man, it's not that hard.
That's how I start every morning, honestly.
Yeah.
Every morning I live out near my beach, kind of near the outlet mall.
Okay.
And so every morning what I love to do is make my cup of coffee. As the sun's getting ready to come up, I'll get in my car and I'll head down and I'll walk around the beach with a cup of coffee in one hand and a 2 gallon bucket in the other picking up trash.
That's awesome.
And then the summertime, that's a 5 gallon bucket.
Yeah.
And I literally, no joke, in the summertime, June, July, August, I can fill up a 5 gallon bucket in under 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like with trash, like full overfilling and like to the point where I can't even spend 30 minutes out there because of how many buckets I fill up just consistently. But that's something I love to do too.
Yeah. Well, thank you for doing that. That means a lot. Seriously.
That's what it's all about, man. That's my office.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well.
I want my office to be tip-top conditions at all times.
Yeah.
You know, when people go down there, I want them to be like, wow, this is so – and our sand's already so white and beautifully clean. You notice all those little specks of garbage.
Right.
So it just – I don't know. It's just something I love to do. Sharing is caring.
Yeah.
And I'm just sharing a little bit of my time to help pick up the environment.
How long did it take? You said when you started doing it full-time, you said you worked with the other company for 2 years.
Were you doing that as a full-time job then, or were you doing that?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
But there was like the off-season, like right now for them, and they would go to like a trickle to where I would have to find stuff to fill in the gaps. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of, they helped me get used to that lifestyle before I started doing my own thing. But even after them, what was kind of crazy is like, I had a couple years where I wasn't going to do this. I was just doing it for fun. And then before I know it, I was turning away so many people. I mean, so many people, like telling so many people, nope, I'm not business. Call these people. Nope, not business. Call these people.
Yeah.
Finally, I was just like, okay, I need to do this for myself.
Yeah.
Because it was just literally dozens every day.
Yeah.
Literally dozens every day. And then from the moment I did, it was pretty much instantly full-time.
That's awesome.
Like instantly full-time. There was barely any lull the first year.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
so cool, man. But of course, right off the rip, I was consistently doing community stuff. So like I started in 2020 and then I immediately did like January 2020 and then February 2020, I did a big giveaway.
Okay.
Where I gave away my services for an entire day. And I not only did one, I did four technically. I did a main service giveaway on Instagram and Facebook and then a class giveaway on Instagram and Facebook. So I gave away like four things technically.
That's awesome.
And then I continue that every year still to this day.
Yeah, that's
one of my favorite things, man.
What day is that? Is that a certain day of the year?
Yep. I announced the giveaway on February 4th. All you need to do, literally, just write a comment. That's it.
Okay.
That's it. You can put a heart in there.
Yeah.
You can put a period in there for all I care. It doesn't matter. You just have to put your name in the comments, and I take every single name from the comments section, and I type them all out, and I cut them all out, and I drop them into a bucket, and I shake them all around, and I pull them out. Literally, like I make it as fair and as even as possible.
Yeah.
I don't like the random number generators.
Right.
I would rather do it that way.
Yeah.
It's fun.
That's
know?
Cool.
You know, it's a fun process. I'm like cutting up everybody's name and I save them all every year. So I have all the bags from every year of everybody's name.
That's awesome. I think people like to see that too. You know what I mean? They're like, it's easy to just like, yeah, hey, do this work and kind of pass on work to other people. But it's like, this person's clearly passionate about what they're doing. They're giving back and stuff like that. But, my, like I said earlier, we have a 9-year-old daughter and we homeschool her. So we are pretty involved in the homeschool community here locally. So we'll have to try and set up a homeschool trip one day and do some sandcastles on the beach. How many people can you have in a class?
So my cutoff is typically 7. And that's because of the other companies. They actually have an employee pool, right? So for me, that's why it's called Dancastles, because I don't ever plan to have employees.
Okay.
For me, it's always quality over quantity. Like I want to give 150% in every single thing I do. So because of that, I don't want to overload myself with like these massively huge classes that I don't need to do. So
right.
Typically I do my max capacity of 7 participants.
Okay.
And that's like a good, comfortable number for one person to handle by themselves. Technically, I can do more than 7, but I'm only going to bring enough buckets and stuff for 7 people. I'll bring enough hand tools for more people, but the buckets, it's a lot of equipment to carry. I can do larger groups. I have people who help me, but you know, it's not as fun. It gets more like work then. It's not as intimate. It's not as like, hey, what do you do for a living? Hey, you know, nice to meet you, Jim. It was awesome catching up with you and your family this year, you know? So, and I just like that intimate aspect of it compared to like the big hubbub of teaching 50 people at once.
Right. It's more about the experience than it is the money.
100%.
Yeah. 100%.
And that's the way I am too with pretty much everything I do. Like it's always about the experience, never the money. And so like my classes are per participant priced, right? So that way, if you want just one person to do a class, you don't have to feel obligated to pay a 5-person bulk class rate. You can just sign up as one person and do a class as one person. And there's no set time limit on my classes either.
Okay.
So some of them go 90 minutes. I've literally had classes go 6 hours.
I was going to ask about how long does a class take for, you said there's the beginner level.
Yep.
But not the smash class. I mean, I'm sure that's
little
castles, smash them, having fun. But we'll say the family class. How long does a family class take?
Typically between 90 minutes and 2 hours.
Okay. And what are they building with that? Is it kind of always something new?
Okay, so typically all my family classes are ran pretty much the same way, and that's because I want to give you an experience that you've never done before. So rather than you all trying to collectively make one thing, I let each person make their own individual tower of sand, teach them how to properly assemble a bottomless bucket, essentially, into a sandcastle tower. And then once you got it assembled, I'll give you a quick tool demonstration and then let you use those tools to decorate that tower however you want.
Gotcha.
And then that way each participant has their own tower to carve however they see fit.
Cool.
And then I can teach you how to link them together with like archways or walls or all sorts of fun stuff.
What are the, you keep saying about the tools and the buckets. So what are the tools of the trade?
So if I were to hand you a sandcastle toolkit, what it would essentially be is 2 2-gallon buckets with bottoms,
okay,
a 5-gallon bucket with a bottom. So those are your regular buckets. And then where we get into the special stuff is I will cut out the bottom of a 5-gallon bucket to make it bottomless, and then cut out the bottom of a 1-gallon bucket, make it bottomless. And then for the tools, it's literally a offset pastry spatula.
Okay.
Or an icing spreader.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I use a melon baller, right? Or you could even use measuring spoons. You don't have to use a melon baller.
What is a melon baller?
Like a little scooper.
Okay.
Like
okay,
essentially a teaspoon.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. I've just never heard that before.
Yeah. It's got a little hole in it. So that way like the sand falls
gotcha
out of it. You know?
Okay.
Yeah. So the melon juices drip out of the spoon when you
gotcha
scoop up little melon
okay
balls.
Okay.
And they make bite-sized melon balls. They're super delicious.
I know what you're talking yeah about. No, okay. I know what you're talking about. No, you're fine. I love it.
And then, melon baller, little paintbrush, mechanical pencil for all your fine detail work, a little toy shovel, because everybody has a toy shovel at the beach, but they have no idea what to do with it. So I blow your mind with a toy shovel. And then a straw, which is one of your most important tools.
What's the straw for?
Blow away the sand. It's your Sandblaster 3000.
Nice.
Yep. So that way, because you can't get in there and like flick it away with your fingers.
Right.
So you use a straw to
right blow it out.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's so amazing. And people are like, how do you get it so clean? And I'm like, straw.
Here we go.
Yeah, just straw.
It. Do you have plastic straws?
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. I have plastic straws I give everybody in class. I've had my straw. It was a gift from my friend Lizzie, which I hope she sees this because she would love that.
Hope
she gave it to me
in
like 2017 and I still have that straw. I love
nice
it. It's so amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got like chip marks all over it, and it's aluminum straw, so it's been bent. I've bent it back in this place. Yeah.
Shout out to Lizzie.
Yeah.
Thanks, Lizzie.
Yep. And I talk about it all the time, that straw. I'm like, I've had this straw forever.
That's cool. I was going to say, in my mind, again, going to the beach around here and having a kid, like my idea of a sandcastle building kit is like the preformed sandcastle and, you know, a bucket and some plastic
and
tools.
And that's creating a castle.
But I love that you have the actual, like a toy shovel that you can teach, like, hey, if you're out and doing something. I'm guessing that what are the bottomless buckets for?
Those are to create the pillar, right? So I go through a certain science that teaches you how to layer the sand up the bucket, making it as dense as concrete the entire time.
Okay.
Quick breakdown of that process. If you take your bottomless 5-gallon bucket and put it top side down, so your bottom is now your top, so it tapers. You fill it about a third of the way full with dry sand, literally get it soupy. You want there to be way more water than sand. You want it to be like a soupy mess. Mix it up while it's soupy to where there's no dry sand. Keep it soupy, not slushy, soupy. Get it all mixed up. Once it's all mixed up and there's no dry sand, it's still soupy. You still got about an inch of water above your sand. You tap it on the outside. Those taps cause subtle vibrations in the sand while it's still in that liquid state. All of the particles perfectly align themselves and get super compacted.
Okay.
Right? Or it settles
yeah
the sand.
Yeah.
And so you tap it for about 10 to 15 seconds, settling that layer. Throw in another layer of dry sand, more water, mix, tap. Sand, water, mix and tap.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It's, you know, song makes it easy.
That's cool. Yeah, yeah. No, that's great. That's awesome. That's very cool. Yeah. Everyone remembers stuff to music, so.
Exactly.
That's perfect. All right, so that's for building your pillars or your foundation, basically, and then you're just adding on to that.
Yeah.
Do the buckets, the bottomless buckets, do they stay in the sculptures or the sculptures 100% sand?
It's 100% sand. So once you get it built, then you just put your hands underneath the bucket, pop it up. And because it's naturally tapered, right, because you put it upside down, mm-hmm, once you pop it, it lifts straight up.
Okay.
And then you're left with this super dense pillar of sand. That's why I said they weigh like a 6-foot tall castle literally weighs like 1,200 pounds.
That's awesome.
I'm not even, if you were to cut it at flat ground and put it on the scale, it would weigh like 1,200 pounds, a 6-foot tall castle.
Yeah.
And that density is what makes it stand on its own when you pull the buckets off.
Right.
And our sand's fine enough to make it work here. There's some beaches where it doesn't work.
That was going to be my next question. And you said, you know, there's competitions all over. I know they had them in California, but like, I've been to beaches where it's hardly sand. You know, it's more like tiny pebbles.
Yeah, rocks. Or
can you do the same process with that?
No, it has to be a certain size sand, right? So once it gets too thick and granular, that's mm-hmm when you get outside of your, you can't really do the same method of the sand, water, mix, and tap. Now, some beaches, the sand is so fine, you don't even need to add water. You can literally just put it in a bucket and pack it down with a stick or something and pull the bucket off and it'll stand.
That's crazy.
Because the sand is so fine.
Is there anything like that around here?
Not around here, unfortunately, no.
Okay.
The closest would probably be like Mexico Beach.
Okay.
That'd probably be the closest. If you go the other way, past Pensacola, it gets worse. It gets more gritty and granular. The farther you go down the panhandle, the more like silty and smooth it gets. And then the same thing, like if you keep going way into Texas, go past the Mississippi River and get into Texas, it gets really silty again.
Okay.
So it mixes that river silt with the coarse sand and it makes it good for sculpting.
That works.
Yep.
Nice. What is your, well, let's say, what's your most memorable or notable thing you've ever built?
Bam, my Eiffel Tower.
Did you really?
Yeah. So back in 2015, so I was taught in 2015.
If anyone can't see on the video, he's got Eiffel Tower as the A in his name for Jan Castle.
Yeah.
So I love it.
Shout out to Mike's girlfriend for making that happen. She was the smart one. He was like, why don't we just put that there? And I was like, oh my God. She was like, isn't that what you wanted? I was like, no, it's genius though. Thank you. You're so smart.
Yeah.
But anyways, so back in 2015 is when I was taught. I was taught in like April or May. I made the Eiffel Tower in November of 2015. Sorry, I was going to try to avoid this, but I got to for this one.
No, you're fine. I want to say it. This is where we need the TV up here.
Yeah, I have to for this one, just so you can understand, because this is number one. This will always be like number one in my books. Next to this one that I use like everywhere. I use that one like everywhere. Is it working?
Yeah, it's going.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, should be good. Yeah, dude.
So you can know how big it is.
That's awesome.
Right.
How long did that take?
10 hours.
10 hours?
With two of us.
That's awesome.
That was my first year making sandcastles, so
yeah.
I was still so new and inexperienced. I didn't really know what I was doing.
Right.
I could probably do that in about four now.
Yeah. That's sweet. Have you tried it again?
No. I probably will never. My friend who helped me work on it, Marcus, he has passed away, so it kind of locked that into like a sacred sculpture category that will never get recreated and it will never be shook out of my number one spot too.
Yeah, yep. That's cool. What's the biggest thing you've ever built?
That would be in New Milford, Connecticut for my friend who owns Create a Castle. Right.
Okay.
So he flew me up there because he was on the TV show Shark Tank.
Okay.
Like 100%. He was on Shark Tank. And so were my arms and legs. If you look in the background, there's a TV playing and there's a sandcastle being built and that's me building it, but you never see my face.
Yeah.
Cool little thing. So yeah, he flew me up there and we used clay, not sand. So it was easier for us to build. And it was between 16 and 19 feet tall. And it took us 3 days to complete it. Yep.
Jeez. What was it?
It was just a big sandcastle.
Okay.
Yeah. So I had Create a Castle all over it because this Create a Castle is a sandcastle molding product.
Okay.
It's essentially the foundation of sandcastling. If you show a passion with Create a Castle, you're going to show a passion in my type of sandcastling because it's like the instant gratification types of sandcastles. So you just like pack it full of sand, put on your next layer, pack it full of sand, put on your next layer, pack it full of sand.
Right.
You can add little blocks if you want to, open it up, add in a little window with a little window maker, and you're done. It has all the blocks, the details, everything built into it.
Is that, I mean, I was joking. I actually wasn't joking. I was planning on bringing in some kinetic sand to play with while we were here, and I didn't grab it heading out the door this morning, but is that a similar product? Is that what it is?
So his main one that I do the classes with is more for the beach or snow.
Okay.
Right? It works great in the snow, but he does have a kinetic sand type one. It's called a Build Masters by Create a Castle, and he has his own kinetic sand compound. He has his own little sandcastle molds, and it's all like, I wish I would have brought it in. That was stupid in my heart because we could have been sitting here building sandcastles all the time. But it's made for kids to bring sandcastles inside for rainy days.
Okay.
Like I had one class where a little girl got injured and I felt really bad because it happened in the middle of the class. So what I did is I went home and I put together a Buildmaster care package for her and I went and dropped it off to their condo so she could continue to build sandcastles while she was stuck inside.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I felt really bad. Some fisherman left a catfish on the beach and she got caught by one of his spears and impaled her foot. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Sucks.
Yeah, definitely sucks. So if you have fish on the beach, get your fish off the beach.
My daughter, she's been in the water swimming. Like I love the water. I love going in the water. So she was 4 or 5 and I had her out snorkeling. We're snorkeling together
And she liked to go dive down to the bottom. So we're probably in 7 feet of water. I couldn't touch. And she's out there with me. She sees she might have been a little older now that I think about it, maybe six, but definitely not older than six. Anyways, she sees a dead fish on the bottom. And I was pretty new here, so like we could still see the school of catfish. So I'm like, well, this thing just died from this school. So I shove her down to the bottom. She's, you know, 5 or 6 years old, dives down 7 feet down, gets this fish. She's playing with it. She's just dragging it around by the tail. And I'm like, well, whatever, you're fine. You know, it's
dead fish.
It is what it is, right? I don't know that these things have spears on them or, you know, barbs on them. She drops it. She wants to get it back. So I shove her down to the bottom again, shoved her harder, or she got more hydrodynamic on the way down than I anticipated. But her face hits this thing, and she comes up and it's just screaming, and just blood is coming out of her mouth everywhere. And I was like, what happened? And then, you know, long story short, we got her in, and I realized that the barb had pierced her lip.
Oh,
and she was bleeding out of her mouth. But my looks could kill. I mean, I'm carrying my daughter in. I'm covered in blood. She's covered in blood. She's screaming
like crazy.
And my wife trusted us, and, you know, I'm walking in now with the daughter, and my wife's just like, what is wrong with you? My wife thought a fish bit part of her lip off.
Oh, my God.
So my wife,
it was
like,
a shark attack.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, which one that's coming from?
Do-do-do.
I know, right? This is the joys of
videoing.
Using a new system, too.
No worries, bro. We need to come.
I don't know why that won't go down all the way. I think that's coming from that. Apparently you can't turn it down all the way.
Right. I actually thought it was somebody out there. That's what it sounded like to me.
There's a radio station somewhere around here, and every now and then, like, our video editor says that there'll be interference on some of these mics. So hopefully.
That's crazy.
Right?
That's nuts.
Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't happen, but it seems to be working. Yeah, we'll see. If not, we'll come do it again.
Amen.
We'll do it at the beach next time.
Yeah, I'll bring a bunch of sandcastle stuff.
Yeah.
And I have lavalier mics too.
Okay.
Yeah. So I got like a Rode go-to lavalier mic and
cool
adapters because, you know, from a GoPro. So that way I can do how-to videos and not have to worry about the wind noise.
Yeah.
I can like put on my lavalier mic and be like, let's go. You guys want to build a sandcastle or what?
That's cool.
Yeah,
so what,
man.
You've been doing, you have your, I'm assuming, an Instagram channel, right?
Yep.
I didn't check Instagram. Yeah, I know you're on Facebook. I found you there.
YouTube.
You have a YouTube channel?
Twitter.
Okay.
I was kind of posting to TikTok, but I stopped that because for some reason that has a very negative crowd that hangs out over there.
Mm-hmm.
I was starting to get negative comments, and, you know, I try not to ban like every single person. So after I got so many negative comments, I was like, okay, I guess this isn't the place.
Right.
And so, yeah, just pretty much Facebook is number one. YouTube, I'm trying to get to be number two, hopefully number one eventually, because my end goal would be like do lives on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
But you need 100,000 subscribers, I think it is, for that. So it's like crazy. Some weird. There's like they got weird clause
right.
to that.
All right.
And then, yep, Instagram, that's where it started. But crazy enough, that's like my lowest following.
Yeah.
Like I've had my Instagram since like 2014. That's where I initially started posting all my sandcastle stuff. And
yeah.
Yep, only like 2,000 followers.
It seems to be, what, and actually surprises me with what you do than Instagram. You don't have more, but it just seems like it's a different crowd.
It
and
is.
It's, people are using it for different reasons. You know, I feel like a lot of people are using Facebook for business and to go find events and activities and stuff, which is what you do. Right?
That's a good point.
And I feel like Instagram is more just like, look what I did. You know, look at it. It's just kind of like
flashy
looking at all the stuff. Right. Which you do really cool stuff. So I'm surprised and I'm not surprised. Just my job's a lot on Facebook. It's a lot of just talking to people, engaging with people, we run a homeschool group like that's very
awesome.
Active on Facebook. I can't imagine that being really popular on Instagram. One, because the crowd seems to be younger that uses it. And two, it just doesn't seem like you can't, well, that I'm aware of, I don't think you can post events and stuff.
You can't. I know, you can't.
Right.
And I got like all these events.
Right.
So I have to like take screenshots of them and be like, by the way, Instagram, here's an event coming up, but you don't know about it. Sorry.
Right. I guess it makes sense, though. You know, I mean, they're owned by the same company. Meta owns both of them. So, like, well, if you want events, go to Facebook. That's what it's for. You know, Instagram's just the pictures and stuff.
Yeah, but pictures and videos.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to become better at reels. Those are just remembering to actually, like, record the footage.
Do it.
A little sweep here and a little sweep there and, like, a little bit there. Yeah. And, you know, and then assemble it all together later and having that, like, creative vision beforehand to know how it's going to look at the end, too. To get the right clips. Yeah,
that's cool. I mean, you're obviously, like you said, you're super into art, so that kind of led to all that, but that also makes sense that you enjoy doing the video process and the editing and all that kind of stuff. Yep. So that's very cool. What's next for you? Are you looking to try and do anything, expand, or just keep doing what you're doing?
Keep doing what I'm doing, man. That's my goal with this. Yeah. Like, that's what I tell everybody. That's the reason why, like, if you ever see me in my get up, I'm literally from toe tip to head. I'm covered from head to toe. I mean, you can see my tan line on my face from keeping just my face open all the time and my, like, reverse raccoon lines is what I call them for my glasses. I literally want to do this for decades. Like, literally want to just be the source of sandcastle happiness and joy in our community for decades to come. And, like, just to have this gift to give to people. And I've told my secretary this many times. My end goal is to have social media paying me to where my services are 100% free. And then what I'm going to do is get my services to where they're all donation-based, to where you can nominate somebody for me to go and give them my experience. So let's say your family was coming into town and do you have any siblings?
Yeah, four.
Okay, brothers or sisters?
Two brothers, two sisters.
Okay, so let's say your sister, I don't mean any neck by this. Let's say your sister's like a single mom. She comes into town and, you know, she's saved and she got her own place for her and her kids right on the beach, but that's all she could really afford. And she really wanted to do more, but she's making the most of it.
Right.
And you would write me an email, tell me about her. And I would be like, done. That too needs to go on that day right there. And she would get one of the days of my schedule. And that's the way my schedule would work pretty much forever.
Gotcha.
It's like donation based to the people who would get the most value out of what I offer.
Right. That'd be amazing.
Yeah. And it's completely free to them.
Yeah.
They don't have to worry about nothing. Then I could give them like a toolkit and I could give them all sorts of swag and gear and just like to make their trip like one of a kind, extra special.
Right.
Yeah. Spread joy like glitter. It's why my shirts sparkle, man. I can't say that enough.
That's cool. Are all your shirts going to glitter?
Yep.
That's great.
Yep. So that's a part of Anchor too. As you can see, I'm really emotional about this stuff. I really love what I do.
Yeah.
But that's part of the thing with Anchor is I told them, I was like, we can't do shirts unless you can put glitter on them.
Yeah.
There needs to be glitter on the shirts. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's amazing, man. That's so cool. That's such an awesome vision to have to try and be able to do that. And to be in a time where you have the availability and the resources to spread that joy. And, you know, I really, really hope that social media is able to do that for you. I mean, even if not, I think it's still a great service to pay for. And, oh, what a great family experience to have if you're down here on vacation. Okay. Like, you can go to the beach and go to the beach. It's beautiful down here. I you know, that's why everyone comes down here. But to kind of have that family process of building something and doing something together.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So much more than sandcastles. I legit give you a memory that you'll never forget.
Right.
Yep.
No, for
and
sure.
And I do more than classes, too. I do, like, weddings and marriage proposals and anniversaries and gender reveals and corporate logos and team-building events, community events.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
So you can be just commissioned to just, hey, we want this work done. This is what we're going to do. And go out and then you build it.
Yep.
That's what you were doing yesterday, right?
Yeah. Yesterday. What was yesterday? Oh, yeah. I had a wedding sculpture in the morning. Yep. So I did a wedding sculpture. They just wanted a simple heart. And then I put three starfish around the bottom of it. And then I put like a little wood grain cross tucked up inside of the heart for them as well. So pretty much I just custom designed something for everybody.
Yeah.
You come to me and you'll be like, oh, my wife really loves dolphins. You know, she's a big dolphin lover. So I'll make two dolphins kissing over the top of a heart.
Cool. Yeah.
You know, just kind of stuff like that. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell the boss we need an Emerald Group logo somewhere out there in the sand and we'll get our next team photo done.
Yeah.
Done in the sand. That'd be awesome.
Your Christmas card.
Yep. Yep. So you got the Christmas event coming up where you're building. What are you building for that the Christmas card one?
So I have a group I created on Facebook called Fun with Dan in the Sand, but I'm probably going to change it to Sandily. And it's a back-end group where I actually have a whole bunch of drawings up right now for you to vote on for what I'm going to make.
Okay.
Yeah, so you could actually vote for what I'm going to make this Saturday.
Very cool.
Yeah, and I have like seven different drawings up. And the one that's winning right now is a clamshell manger with sea life around it.
Okay.
So like instead of like donkeys and sheep and, you know, camels. It has like a dolphin and a sea turtle and an octopus. And it's like clamshell, and it's got starfish for the northern star. But baby Jesus, Mary, and Joseph are like traditional.
Okay.
I got to keep that traditional.
Gotcha.
But everything else is sea life related.
That's awesome.
But the main part focuses staying traditional. Sure.
All right. I gotta look at a calendar before I can tell you if I'm gonna make it out or not. But as long as we can make it out, that would be awesome to go do.
It's gonna be busy. So far, I think at the moment we have like 184 that said they're going, and we have 1,700 interested. So it's gonna be busy. And I broke that. My friend Keith actually broke the numbers down for me, and he said if I see 200 people and we start at 1 and we go until 5, that's essentially 2 minutes per person.
Yeah.
2 minutes per person. Now, like, once you broke it down like that, I'm like, oh my God, like, we're going to need to be like,
right.
Fly through them, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I'm assuming, with no breaks. I mean, that's just,
yeah.
Turning through them.
Yeah. And my secretary, Tristan, she's going to be out there. I'll have her at the front. She'll be pushing the people through. And then I'm going to be walking up and down the line, explaining to people how it works. So that way, when they get up there, they know exactly what to do. And they can just do it and go.
Cool.
And so that way, they're not like, wait, where do I stand? How does this work?
Yeah. You know, you get a little yard sign that you can set up somewhere in the line. So it's like, oh, okay, here's what we're doing when we get up there. I mean, I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but they help.
I already have yard signs.
There you go.
Yeah, man. I already got them created. Yeah. Like, sign chick sign out of Destin. She's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we got yard signs with our QR codes on them to take you to our social media, cool. As well as like, yeah, navigational yard signs. So
sweet.
And I'll probably have like, I have PVC pipes that I bring out when I do events. Mm-hmm. So I'll probably bring my PVC pipes out and some twine and just create alleyways for people to like herd inside of.
Yeah. Do you try and surround the sculptures too, to stop people from?
No, not typically.
Okay.
No, not typically.
Have you ever had someone like when you're done building the sculpture, go up, you know, yeah, intentional or unintentionally go up and wreck it?
Of course. I'm done. Of course. Yeah. Never while I'm working on it. But when I'm done, of course.
Yeah.
But you got to remember, as sad as or angry as that may make you, there is joy in knocking down a sandcastle.
Yeah.
So spread joy like glitter.
Yeah.
I don't get upset about people knocking down my sandcastles because I understand that they're having fun doing it.
Right.
You know, it's fun. You're like, knock it down. Right. Yeah. You know, everybody's like, yeah, and excited about it. So, and for me, it just resets my canvas. I can go back out there and make something new.
Yeah.
Don't bother me.
That's cool. I had a little Zen garden thing in our bedroom for a while. You know, you just draw shapes in it. And there was probably a year where every day I would just go, just do something new. You know what I mean? And then it was actually a good lesson for my daughter that, you know, she would do something. And then the next morning, be like, all right.
Time to reset.
Shake it. Flatten it out. You're she's like, oh, I like this one. I'm like, but you can't make a new one.
Yep, until you get rid of
it. You don't get rid of this one, you know, get a new canvas and have something new. And it's kind of a good lesson, and everything's temporary.
Yep.
You know, it's got to go away some point.
It's just sand.
Yeah.
It's just sand. Everything is temporary.
Yeah, that's amazing. So you did the 3-day sculpture, the 19 foot 3-day sculpture, massive sandcastle for, what was his company again?
Create a Castle. And
Create
that
castle.
Was to announce his shark. Yeah, I don't think we ever finished that. That was to announce his Shark Tank appearance. That was to announce that he was going to be on Shark Tank. So we actually did that last year.
Okay.
And it's still the tallest sculpture I've ever done.
Okay. Is that also the most time consuming one you've ever done?
I would say no, because when I was with Beach Sand Sculptures, we did a week-long project at Schooner's over in Panama City Beach. Mm-hmm. But when I was with them, it was more like a business thing. So we had like our clock in, clock out hours.
Gotcha.
Where when I was up in Connecticut, both of us do it for the love. So like those 3 days were like 16-hour days.
Just grinding.
Exactly. Because both of us, we weren't working. You know, we were both having fun and a blast. So we didn't care. So we would get there like at sunrise and we would stay well past sunset.
Right.
You know, because we were both having fun. So it was just a different type of atmosphere. So that honestly almost ties for like the longest sculpture I've done too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though it was shorter in days, it was the same amount of like
hours.
Yeah. Work time.
Yeah.
Play time.
Is, you know, we get afternoon storms here all the time. Does that impact the building?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay.
If it's a bad one, yeah, it'll destroy the sculpture. For sure. Rain is the enemy of them because, you know, I use so much water to compact it together.
Right.
So if it's a hard enough rain, it's just going to wash it away. But if it's just like a gentle rain or like mist, no, it's good.
That's fine.
Yeah,
Can you still build them in those conditions?
Okay. Yeah, I was out there all day Monday. I don't know if you remember what it was like.
Yeah,
it was pretty much raining all day, like just a nice steady rain. It wasn't heavy or too intense at any point in time. It was just a steady rain all day, and I built a wedding sculpture the entire time.
That's cool.
Now, unfortunately, like literally the last 15 minutes, I'm out there in my rain gear, all dry as a button, like having a blast. The dude's all soaked like a rat, and I can tell he's frustrated. The last 15 minutes before the ceremony starts, next thing you know, he comes down, picks up everything, and leaves. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, oh my God. But we were at Henderson, so they just moved it up to one of the pavilions.
Gotcha.
And so after they were done with the wedding in the pavilion, that's when the bride and groom came down. And the groom was a Marine, so he could care less about the rain. So it's like, whatever. It's not even raining. What are you talking about? He's like, this is a sprinkle.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So the rain doesn't really affect him too much.
Cool. Okay. That's good to know. I mean, you know, just we get storms here, like rain's a common occurrence.
But that is why I do all payment after completion too, because let's say something came along and a worst case scenario happened. I don't want people to feel like they're financially obligated to pay for my time in the event of a worst case scenario. So I would much rather do payment after completion, so that way I can bail out in the middle of a sculpture and not have to worry about your finances being tied up in this.
Right.
And that's for like my safety and your peace of mind too.
Yeah. No, that's great. Good for you. All right. Well, I could probably sit here and talk to you for another hour, but
easy.
We got other stuff to go do. So, I always like to end each episode with, if, you know, someone's got $3,000 burning a hole in their pocket and I got 24 hours on the Emerald Coast, what are your favorite places? What are you going to recommend to them to go do?
If you're here on a Monday or Friday, you got to go to the Beach Bonfire at Royal Palm and Grill Surfside Resort.
What city is that in?
What's that?
What city?
That's in Miramar Beach.
Okay.
So that's over off of Scenic Gulf Drive, pretty much at the end of Scenic Gulf Drive right there by the outlet mall.
Okay.
Yeah. Surfside Resort, Royal Palm and Grill, Monday and Friday nights, they do a free beach bonfire every Monday and Friday.
Okay.
And that's just, you're going to see so many locals.
Yeah.
Like, it's always full of locals. It's just such an amazing experience to be a part of. But for me, honestly, man, like if you're like somebody who just wants to experience our area for the way it is, you need to find a local that's willing to take you around and show you all the hidden gems, the jetties, you know, take you on a pontoon boat and take you into the channels. Oh, this is so-and-so's house. Oh, that's so-and-so's house. You know, you need somebody who knows our area. That's going to give you the best experience you could ever ask for here.
Yeah.
And somebody who knows all the hole-in-the-wall restaurants, and just like let them plan out your trip for you. I mean, that's to me would be give you the best experience.
Yeah.
Because like when my mom comes here, I take her places and she's just blown away. She's like, I never knew stuff like this existed here.
Right.
And it's just because I know it's hidden.
Right. Highway 98 in downtown Destin, they're cool places. You know what I mean? And in their own right, I'm not trying to diminish those at all, but those are all designed and aimed at tourism.
Yeah.
So you don't really get to experience the local culture here, and you don't get to experience a lot of that if you can't break away from that. But that could also be daunting. You know, you tend to drive down side streets and run into gated communities, and it's like, you know, where am I going? It's easier to just go back. And again, it's all aimed at driving that traffic in the right place. But no, that's a great point. If you have locals, especially someone who's been here for years and experienced it and gets out and does stuff, that's an awesome way to do it.
Yep.
All right. Well, I wish you the best of luck. Let me know how I can help. I would love to be able to help and spread the word and get you bigger on social media. Yeah, I hope it works, man. That's the point of it. let me know how I can help. We got a pretty big homeschool group that we have that we, may be interested in coming out. Some of them might be coming out and doing some classes or attending some of the events or following you on YouTube. You know, it drives me nuts when my daughter's on YouTube just watching kind of mindless stuff. I'd rather her learn how to build something, learn how to do art. You know, I think that's
what our coast to work, right?
Yeah,
get out there and have fun.
For sure. One more time, if someone needs to get a hold of you.
DanCastles.com.
Dan Castles.
Yep, Dan Castles. So just like a sand castle.
Yep.
But Dan, my name, right? So instead of a sand castle, I have a Dan Castle.
Love it.
Yeah.
And then on Facebook, you're Dan in the Sand.
Yeah.
Okay.
And because that's where it originally started for me. So Dan in the Sand was the persona I created with the other company. And that's how it bloomed into Dan Castles. And I needed a way to separate the two. So Dan in the Sand is the love. Dan Castles is the paid. So everything that's posted to Dan Castles is all my paid four services,
okay,
where everything posted to Dan in this hand is usually 100% free, totally for the love.
Okay.
Just like one thing I really wanted to say as well is I directly work with the Make-A-Wish Foundation and I donate 100% of my services to them. And that is one of the greatest, most like to the heart things that I have in my arsenal. Like I really love going out and giving it to those families. Like I said, single mothers.
Same
situation.
My my little sister was a recipient of the Make-A-Wish. So, you know, that's close to my heart too. I understand it. Well, you're clearly very passionate about what you do. I love you, man. I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Be in touch. I want to do it again.
Thank
you, man. Yeah,
thank
absolutely.
You guys are awesome. Appreciate you, brother.